Temura, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, the last chapter of Temura. And here in this first Mishnah, we're going to contrast certain strictures, chumras that apply to what's called kadshei mizbeach, that do not apply to what are called kadshei berek habayis. I'll explain those terms in a moment. But because kadshei mizbeach can effect Temura, but kadshei berek habayis cannot, it features here in our Mishnah, and we'll list five strictures that apply specifically to kadshei mizbeach. So what are these two things? Normally, we divide Kedusha into two categories. One is called Kedushas Haguf, intrinsic Kedusha, the thing itself is consecrated, and the other is Kedushas Damim. The thing itself is not consecrated, but it's a store of value, which then can be used to purchase something that's else that's consecrated, so the Kedusha will transfer from that original thing to something else later on. Now, those are the two flavors of Kedusha, if you will. This Mishnah is focused, it's doing a dichotomy in a different way, and they're not the same thing, although they usually overlap. I mean, they usually follow the same kind of split. Kadshei mizbeach versus kadshei berek habayis means when a person consecrates something, where is he pointing that kedusha? What's the destination where he's consecrating this thing to go? So if it's kadshei mizbeach, he's consecrating it because he's saying, I want this kedusha to end up on mizbeach as an offering. If it's kadshei berek habayis, it means I'm consecrating this thing, but I want its value to go to serving for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, berek habayis. So usually, kadshei mizbeach things have kedushas haguf, whereas kadshei berek habayis things just have kedushas damim. Okay, but I don't want to say they're not. There are ways you can come up with cases, which is straightforward cases. In fact, that they blur those lines. In any case, our mission here is talking about kadshei mizbeach, things you consecrate, like a cow, goat, or sheep, to go on the mizbeach as an offering, as a shlom or an ola, etc. And we're saying those have certain those things, which could also be, for example, wine or oil or flour for a mincha and so on. Those things have strictures that kadshei berek habayis, things you consecrate just to give to the Beis HaMikdash for its use or for it to monetize it by selling it, and then you can take the money to pay for other upkeep goods or services for the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's to buy new toilet paper for the bathrooms or whether it's to, fix the roof. That will be used with berek habayis money. So says the Mishnah, therefore, Yesh b'kadshei mizbeach ma she'ein b'kadshei berek habayis. There are certain strictures that apply to kadshei mizbeach, things are consecrated to go on the mizbeach, which don't apply to kadshei berek habayis, things that are consecrated to go for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. V'yesh b'kadshei berek habayis ma she'ein b'kadshei hamizbeach. There are certain things, certain strictures that we'll see in the next Mishnah that apply to things that are consecrated for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, which don't apply to things that are going on the mizbeach. So we'll have five of them, five strictures here in this Mishnah that are kadshei mizbeach, have stricture over berek habayis. The first of the five is Shekadshei mizbeach osin temura. Things, only things that have consecrated the sanctity of the destination of mizbeach, heading to the altar, can effect temura. Meaning, if I consecrate a cow to be an ola, and then I say that bring another cow and I say, or a sheep, and I say this is going to be the temura for the original cow, of course, then I learn from our Masechta, the second thing becomes also consecrated. Whereas if I consecrate either it's money or a camel, whatever it is, for berek habayis, and then I bring another, animal, another donkey or cow, and I say this should be the temura for that original thing of value, their equal value, let's say, that doesn't do anything at all. Okay, temura is something that's peculiar just to kadshei mizbeach. Worth pointing out here, however, just as an important aside, that we learned that temura only is applicable to behemos, to cows, goats, and sheep. So there could be things like, for example, birds or flour, oil, meal, which can have kadshei mizbeach sanctity, but still cannot affect temura. Similarly, you could have things that actually, even cows, goats, or sheep, that have kadshei mizbeach, kedushas mizbeach, and still not be able to affect temura. And those are two we learned earlier in the Masechta. We're talking about the temura and the vlad, meaning you have animal A, it's a cow that's dedicated to be Ola. You bring animal B, and you say animal B should be the temura for animal A. So then now they both have kedushas mizbeach. They're both going to be offered as Olos. But while A can affect temura further, B cannot. Similarly, if you had a female shlamim and it had offspring, so then the offspring also cannot affect temura, even though the original mother could. Okay, so those things both would have kedushas mizbeach, but it cannot affect temura. Okay. The second of the five strictures that kedushas mizbeach has over berek habayis is v'chayav aleihem mishum pigel nosar v'tameh. This triumvirate of three things, basically what connects them is if you eat sacrificial items that have this status, the penalty is kares. So just very briefly, pigul, that was the chutz lizmano stuff. So that means, in short, if you're offering, if the Kohen, whoever's doing the offering, is offering a korban, a zavach, and he thinks while he's offering, while doing any of the four essential steps, meaning the shechita, the slaughtering, the kabbalah, the receiving the blood, the holacha, the bringing the blood to mizbeach, or the zrika, the application of the blood, if during one of those four steps, even for a moment, he thinks either A, he's going to offer the blood outside of the proper time, or B, offer the sacrificial part to the mizbeach in the improper time, or C, eat from the meat of the korban in the improper time, that thought alone renders the whole animal invalid. It also calls it, makes it pigul. And if one would eat from such a korban, the penalty is karas. As far as nosar, nos means leftovers, so the idea is every korban has a set time frame in which it must be eaten. If one passes the deadline, that's called lina, and now once the deadline is passed, the animal that's left behind, the meat left behind, has a status of nosar. One who eats nosar is liable to karas. And finally, tummy. If a person is tummy, so if he eats from a korban, so then the penalty is karas, which is not the case when it comes to kachi bedek abayis. Just so, for example, if one is tummy and he eats, you know, his shlama meat or his korban pesach, whoa, that's bad news. That's a penalty of karas. Whereas if one, let's say, for example, consecrates, you know, his chicken to go to basically shows bedek abayis, and then he forgets and he eats the chicken, that's bad. It might be me'ila and other things, but it's certainly not a chi of karas. Okay, if he's tummy, I meant if he's tummy. Good. The third of the five is vladan v'chalavan asur la'achar pidyonim. Their offspring and their milk remain forbidden after their redemption. So you recall, if something is a cow, goat, or sheep is consecrated properly, but then it develops a mum kavu, a permanent blemish, so there's a mitzvah to redeem it, and then you use the money to purchase a replacement korban, then now decommissioned korban still has a vestige of sanctity. We saw in the end of the previous parak about how you're not supposed to, if it's a treifa, you wouldn't actually redeem it because it would just be fed to dogs. Why is that? Because the only permissible use essentially for a decommissioned korban that you redeemed is to eat it. Okay? So that means that if it has offspring, like, you know, let's say it was pregnant when you decommissioned it, so then offspring is forbidden to get benefit from. And similarly, if you can't milk it, you all land to slaughter it, and that's that. So even though it's been redeemed, the vestige of Kedusha makes its offspring and its milk forbidden. Whereas if you consecrate an animal with Bedek Abayis Kedusha, and then you redeem it, the animal just is completely chul in every way, and then its milk becomes permitted, and you can work it, and you can shear it, and you can enjoy its children, and no problem. Just an important footnote, if your decommissioned korban, it was a bal mum, in other words, and it got now redeemed, gets pregnant after the redemption, so then the children, the offspring, indeed, are permitted. One could eat or get benefit from them. Number four is v'hashochatam b'chutz chayev. One who slaughters them outside of the temple complex is chayev karis. This is a restriction, it's a pasuk, that you must bring karbanos that are offered in Mizbeach and slaughter them in the temple complex there, in the Zara. If you do it outside of there, then the penalty is karis. That doesn't apply to kachei bedek abayis, meaning, again, if you consecrate, you know, your chicken to go to bedek abayis, and then you forget and you slaughter in your backyard, that might be bad. You might have me'ila on your hands, but you don't have the penalty of karis for slaughtering a consecrated item outside of the base of Mikdash. Yizara. And number five, finally, is ve'ein nosen mehem l'umanim bischaran. You're not allowed to use them for payment to the workers, mash'ein ken b'kachei bedek abayis. Whereas when it comes to, that's not true, when it comes to kachei bedek abayis, you can use them for payments to the workers. So that means, what are we talking about here? I don't know why you'd ever think you could give a korban, pay someone with it, because it's obviously going to the mizbeach. But the chiddush here is, a big chiddush is that if the roofing guys are coming to fix the roof of the base of Mikdash, someone, you know, back in Beit Shemesh says, you know, I want to consecrate my cell phone to the base of Mikdash as Bedek Abayis, for Bedek Abayis. So the normal thing to do would be that they would auction off the cell phone, get the fair market value, and then use those monies to pay, you know, the workers that fix the roof. But actually, they don't have to do that middle step. They could just simply take that existing consecrated cell phone, go to the worker on the roof and say, listen, we'll do a deal here. You fix the roof, we'll pay you with the cell phone. And if they make a deal like that, so that's fine. You can pay the cell phone directly to the worker. And when he receives it, it becomes now decommissioned, deconsecrated. But the point is you can use that consecrated item as is to pay for services done to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash.